This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Well, Ramya gave out the contact during the last segment, folks, and definitely we want your recommendations for books, please. Love it. Just get so much feedback that we're always greedy and looking for more. If you want to also check out the Accessible Media Inc. Facebook page, go ahead and do that. Great place for information and to keep up with what's happening. They always keep it well supplied with lots of content. You can like the Accessible Media Facebook page. While you're at it, visit at AMI Audio over on Twitter to keep up with the shows. You can follow along to see what's happening segment to segment during any of the live shows. And, of course, interact and have conversation with the gang over here at AMI. On Fridays, we get a chance to settle on back and we talk a little lifestyle headlines. And we had Jeff Ryman in on the program Wednesday covering off health headlines. So let's bring him on, ladies and gentlemen. It's Jeff Ryman to here to talk lifestyle.
From fashion to travel, pets, and more, we cover it all on the Lifestyle Report with me, Jeff Ryman.
I thought we were going to lose Brock Richardson the other day, Rummy. We were talking about announcer voices, and when we were in school, because, you know, classmates of mine would come in, hey, listen to Kelly, he's got the announcer voice. And we asked Jeffrey the question of, especially being at sports media, you want to talk about where we're running around with all these announcer voices. That's the capital of announcer voices when you take a course like that. So I said today I'll use the announcer voice, bringing him in to talk lifestyle on the program.
I like it.
Not bad. It's fun. It's very.
Is he going to respond with his announcer voice or?
Well, it's good to be here, Kelly and Ramya.
I like when you do it.
Add like
sports.
An extra syllable to your name there,
Ramya.
Quite authentic. Ramya. I like it.
Ram. I want to ask you the question. I know you've done some described video work. Like, do you find that, like, your voice or tone changes for that? I mean, for me, in broadcasting, I try not to, but apparently I do. But, like, what about you? Like, how do you feel? Like, do you turn it on or off when you're doing voiceover work or describe video or anything?
Yeah. I got to say, the first time I auditioned for, like, a gig, right, voice work gig that wasn't live radio, I re-recorded over and over again, and every time I was like, I gotta go deeper. No, it's too high still. And it was because I was trying to get the tone of The White Tiger, which is now out on Netflix. So that's I was trying to get that serious tone as a narrator, but not make it sound like I was acting, right? Because you're putting on somewhat of a performance as a AD narrator, but you're not wanting to make it sound hella dramatic, you know? Not like it's a superhero movie or something like that. But it's not something that you can go in with a very nice, chipper smile on your face tone. Because of the tone of the movie. So when I did it, I was like, I think I still sound way too happy, and I had to dial it back a lot. So now when I listen back to it, I'm like, oh, that is a very serious version of me.
And it depends too, right? On when you're being hired to do any of these things, it's so much in the ear of who's directing you, what they think the client wants, what they want from it, and their style. You know, when you do any voice, whether it's cartoon voices, whether it's audio description, anything, it really, you're not the star here in this moment. Oh, so just do the voices, give the description. Oh, okay, yeah. Don't overact it. It's not acting. Yes. You're not acting. And you don't editorialize. Then you go try to audition to do a cartoon voice. Well, could you put a little more into it like an actor? And when we do plays, we'd say that to actors, you know, let the director tell you when you're going over the top. Because to you, you'll come out on stage. Hello, everybody. Oh, I'm overacting.
Exactly. And the thing is, you're a narrator. When you're narrating, you're not acting. Right? That's for the actors and that's for the characters. So narrators do have something different to think about when you're kind of telling the story or helping describe what's actually going on.
Now, as you become people become really to like your voice. Like, I'm certainly sure there are certain people we can all think of. We love that person's voice. And there are those different narrators. And sometimes somebody, Jeff, who may do a lot of radio work, people want that voice as the narrator. People mm-hmm. who do the document. Other times people don't. No, I don't want your radio voice. I want a documentary voice. So it's best to be as flexible. If you're lucky enough and blessed enough to have a voice where you can be very flexible and you're good at taking in what they ask for and responding to that, you've got it made. But there are so many wonderful voices out there, and you say, well, I can't imagine that guy doing a documentary, though. He's got a great FM voice.
Yeah, there are certain people. It's like the same thing with actors. Like, there are certain actors you want to stick in the same genre. Mm-hmm. And some actors that sort of go outside of that genre, and you're just like,
what are you doing over there?
Maybe they should have stuck to action. Maybe they should have stuck to comedy or something like that. There are very few actors that I think are able to actually go outside of just a couple of genres and sort of go wherever.
And I think it's the same thing. Aspires to be able to go outside, do something different. Obviously, you have your safety net and where your bread's best buttered, or you're making your green, but you really, as an actor, want to be able to, I'd like to be able to do anything. Well, mm-hmm. that's a nice dream, and we can do more, but if people see you as, no, I only see you as a comic. Yeah, but look at me in this dramatic role. Nah, go back to comedy.
It's a very tough one,
right? It's really hard, and it's so heartbreaking, as people in the biz will tell you, like, oh my goodness. Jeff, where are we starting?
We're going to start with dogs. And this is a great initiative, or I guess I should say it was a great initiative, because I know a lot of people are anxious when it comes to needles. And of course, with us being in the middle of a pandemic, and of course, there are vaccines all across the country that are being administrated on a day-to-day basis. In Nova Scotia, there is actually an event that happened just the other day on September 9th. So I guess last week, where there were therapy dogs that were at this clinic that were giving out first and second doses. So, of course, you know, sometimes if you go and you're a little bit nervous, you're a little bit anxious, those puppies just seem to calm down those nerves. In just ways that, you know, humans or whatever way that you would normally try to calm those nerves. For animals are just a different breed. I mean, it just the unconditional love, I think, that you get from a cat or a dog or whatever animal may be. But I thought this was a great initiative. The idea for the clinic came from a young man with Down syndrome who has a fear of needles. And they wanted to acknowledge that this is not the only gentleman that would have the fear of needles, or who may be anxious around receiving a needle or receiving a vaccine. So people were able to drop in on September 9th between 1:30 and 4:30 p.m. at Dalhousie University's Family Medicine Center in the Spryfield Wellness Center. And as part of helping make people feel more comfortable, there were therapy dog and their handlers presented from St. John Ambulance. So if there were people who were anxious or stressed or just wanted to see a guide dog or a therapy dog, they were able to go down to the center on September 9th. And I hope there's more of this, because this is not going to go away anytime soon. And I hope that there's going to be other such events or clinics open to this idea right across the country, because I know personally some friends who have had that fear of getting needles. And I feel like, you know, if there was a dog there, I feel like, Remya, this would almost entice you to go, because you're a big dog person. But I'd love to see this initiative be taken on by other communities around the country. But good on Nova Scotia. Good on Dalhousie University, and good on St. John Ambulance for providing these therapy dogs that were able to hopefully help people get the jab.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, Jeffy, this is just a very particular example, right? Therapy dogs are helpful in so many different scenarios. Yeah. We've highlighted on the show over the past few years different things that have come out, like having them at airports to help people with travel, having therapy dogs at court sessions and court proceedings and things like that for different victims. And honestly, you know, going back to vaccinations and people's hesitancies on whatever there may be, okay, like 150 different examples of why people might be hesitant. But if one of them is just like the actual physical act of getting a needle in your arm, this is so helpful to have therapy dogs there. And yeah, as soon as you mention, if you're an animal lover, as soon as you mention dogs, you just perk up, right? Like that's what happened to me when you said therapy dogs. I was like, ooh, what about them, right? So you don't even have to go any further for some people to say, oh, that's immediately going to calm me down. So I also agree. I think it's a great initiative. Yeah.
In as somebody who has gotten both doses of the vaccine, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty stress-free, easygoing person, but there was something about going into, in my instance, it was a community center where I got both of my shots. You know, there is a little bit of anxiousness that comes from that, even if you aren't typically an anxious or very stressed person. So having these therapy dogs there, you know, it just puts a smile on your face. It sets the mood. It sort of enlightens the area where it's like, yeah, everybody's getting needles, but there's also dogs over here. So it just sort of adds a lighter element to the whole, the whole, I guess, when you're there. It just adds a different aspect to it, which is super beneficial because, you know, same thing with going to a hospital. I mean, it's not always the most pleasant place to go, but if you're in a room with a dog, you almost forget that you're at a hospital or getting a shot or a vaccine. So, yeah, two thumbs up for this initiative from me.
Excellent.
It really does relax you. Cool.
Next item.
This is going to be a fun one. Kind of not really lifestyle-y, but I kind of wanted to squeeze this in here because this is interesting. And I know we've talked about space travel in the past, and it's something I think I would like to do. I just don't know if it's going to be capable in my lifetime. I do not want to spend $1 million just to fly around the Earth, although it would be pretty cool, but I just don't have that Remya type money saved up in my bank account.
I hope this is a form of manifestation, you guys telling me I'm rich.
That's maybe. All your side gigs.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're a Netflix star now.
I knew it.
But there's a private rocket with just ordinary folks aboard. Last night, SpaceX's first private flight marked the first time a spacecraft has ever circled the Earth with an all amateur crew. No professional astronauts were on board. The plan calls for the 2-man and 2-woman crew of the Dragon to spend 3 days aloft. So 3 days up in orbit, just in outer space. Their course will take them on an orbital path 100 miles higher then the International Space Station. Splashdown is set for this weekend. So they'll be coming back, crashing back down to Earth at some point this weekend. Kind of cool. But again, I just don't know how comfortable I would feel. All amateur crew, not one single professional astronaut on this. You know, it's definitely newsworthy. But I'm still kind of not there with this type of space travel. And mind you, it doesn't say how much they paid or if they were on
I think
a volunteer
some of them
basis
actually
or
got on it. I want to say there was some kind of draw for draw. Some people. Yeah. I believe there was. So I think some didn't actually pay.
I might be down for that. But just the no professional astronaut on there, I think, would have thrown me off. Again,
put
like I said,
trust in us.
All for
Fly
space
with
travel.
Us.
Yeah, but I don't know. Imagine us four. Me, you, Remya, and Akeel.
Is that assuming that if we were to do this, we'd pick each other to go with?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'd be kind of nervous. No offense, guys.
I was just going to say, are you suggesting they get distracted easy?
No comment.
Mom's great at multitasking.
Yeah, I am.
We'll talk to you, Jeff, a little later on in the show for Cut for Time. Jeff does Lifestyle on Fridays. On Wednesdays, he has the health headlines for us. We'll return with our app update in a moment. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.